Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's HandyLink. You're listening to HandyLink on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Welcome to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association, an organization that provides recreational and athletic opportunities for individuals with disabilities in Windsor, Essex. For more information, check out ICHA on Facebook. I'm your host, Cam Wells. In this segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Jeremy Reno. Will be telling us a little bit about the latest happenings with Easter Seals. So tell me a little bit about the latest happenings with Easter Seals.
All right. So right now what's going on across the province, we're launching our annual fundraising and awareness campaign called March's Easter Seals Month. We're raising awareness for kids with physical disabilities, and we're also noting the fact that this year it's an equally challenging time, despite the fact that there are slowly opportunities for reopening in different areas. What's been challenging is the fact that right now, due to the pandemic, it's been really difficult on families. And I think one of the things that we wanted to communicate here is the economy, with changes, with losses of jobs, or people being laid off, we have kids staying at home, and therefore parents have to take care of their kids. So it's been tremendously difficult for them. And what we're doing is, through this time, we're continuing to raise awareness in our community, and we are launching two programs. On March 20th, we're launching our Paper A campaign to raise funds across Windsor Essex County, and we'll be activating at different locations like Giant Tiger and Home Hardware, to name a few. And that will go on through April 3rd, which is the literal day before Easter. And working in collaboration with CTV, we'll be launching our annual Easter Seals Telethon, which will take place on Saturday, April 3rd and Saturday, April 10th from 3 to 6. And the Telethon is our signature annual event. We held it in the fall this past year due to the pandemic, and we're looking forward to bringing it back to the spring around Easter, which is perfect.
So, I've noticed of late, Easter Seals has been working a lot with the Windsor business community. So, how have you found those partnerships beneficial?
Oh, it's been tremendously beneficial. This past year, we've done several things. I do want to highlight working with the local business community. Has been absolutely fantastic. We brought on board a number of different organizations for three-year partnerships, which will lead into the anniversary of Easter Seals, which will take place on November 28, 2022. And for people that might not be aware, the 100th anniversary of Easter Seals is actually celebrating us, not just in Windsor, but across Canada and internationally. Seals found its roots here, actually, in all places, here in Windsor, thanks to Rotary locally on November 28th, 1922. But through businesses, I do want to highlight a few. The ones that come to mind, for example, Carson Kingdom, it's a local business retailer on Walker Road. This past fall, they made a tremendous in-kind gift of over $26,000 in product, including collectibles, art, and toys. And what we're going to do later this fall is have a combination of sales, if it's traditional sales, live and silent auction, raffles, and we're going to sell all that product to raise money to help kids with physical disabilities. Cartoon Kingdom has been a tremendous supporter They've helped other organizations from the Kiwanis Sunshine Point Camp to Fight Like Mason, to name a few, have been absolutely fantastic as a business, not just helping Easter Seals, but other organizations like the ones I just mentioned. another one, the Game MD, for example, located on Tecumseh Road East, they did a unique marketing activation, and they were selling Roy Approved and Roy Raging Roy stickers prior to Christmas, and they raised funds and awareness for kids with physical disabilities through the sale of those stickers. Both of these stores will be looking to help us in the future. We're exploring opportunities as we speak. But the reason I picked out those two is it's unique where we're exploring new types of partnerships with businesses that traditionally did help Easter Seals in the past, but now are helping kids in our community. We're reaching into new markets where people are learning about us. People will eventually become involved with us as volunteers or supporters. And just those two partnerships alone are tremendous.
So, are there any challenges in reaching out to the community for these supports?
Well, right now, the pro of the pandemic is that it forced not only Easter Seals or our organization, but it forced a lot of nonprofits and charities to think outside the box. Historically, for 38 years, Easter Seals, for example, had its signature telethon event, which was a one-day event that was broadcast live on TV. People would come to the event. They would be making phone calls to friends, family, and loved ones, as well as colleagues, asking for donations and raising money on behalf of Easter Seals. This past year, with physical distancing and the pandemic, we couldn't do that traditional model. Unfortunately, we came up with a modernized version where we're able to do a pre-record event to ensure that we only had 20 people at a time, again, maintaining physical distancing, safe physical distancing, at St. Clair College, and then we were able to edit that footage and insert it into a movie-thon. So in the fall, we split that one-day event into two weekends, and we showcased two Harry Potter movies, and we integrated all the traditional elements of the telethon into a movie-thon, and we converted that one-day event into a two-week campaign. On TV, we're able to reach families and kids of all ages. So it's a new opportunity to bring awareness to the organization. And we're also able to utilize a lot of that footage online on social media. So yes, there were challenges, but we found a way to overcome them just by thinking outside the box. And that's, I think, moving forward, we always have to find new ways to engage the traditional demographic and also a young one.
So, what are the next steps for Easter Seals?
Okay, so as mentioned, through Easter Seals Month, we are continuing to raise funds and awareness. Again, the Paper Egg campaign will be March 20th through April 3rd, so we'll be delivering paper eggs to different businesses across Windsor Essex County. People can then participate and buy an egg when they check out at, for example, Giant Tiger. They can write the names of their loved ones on these big paper eggs, which will go up on a community board. We will continue to work towards delivering the telethon, which is taking up a lot of our time and resources at the moment, as it's our signature event. And the result will be the delivery of those two movie-thons, which will take place on Saturday, April 3rd again, and Saturday, April 10th. And finally, after that, we'll take a wrap up those events and then look ahead to planning new events in the summer and in the fall. Right now, we do have some concepts and some ideas. We're slowly monitoring what's going on with the pandemic to ensure that we can start to roll out campaigns and events that are safe for everyone.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
That'd be great. Thanks.
In this segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Brian McLean from Achilles Canada. So tell me a little bit about Achilles Canada.
All right. Achilles Canada is a not-for-profit organization that specializes in helping those with various disabilities to stay healthy and fit. And we use predominantly the sport of running. Running is basically accessible to all. All you need is a good pair of running shoes, and anyone can go outside, start with a walking program, and then gradually build up to a running program. And then from there, it's your running goal. You can do a simple 5K, or you can aim high or big and go for a marathon in the future.
So, have you ever worked with clients that have prosthetics, for example?
Prosthetics, yes, we do. Yes, we have a number of amputee runners. And when I say amputees, some of them have prosthetic legs, and some of them have prosthetic arms. So, yes, we deal with that, yes. And when it comes to, you know, disability, it's prosthetic, amputee, wheelchair athlete, visually impaired, blind. I myself am legally blind. I'm also hearing impaired. So I'm considered what we call an Achilles athlete. So if anyone who has a disability, which also includes mental illness, and especially during this COVID-19 pandemic, there have been a huge spike in individuals suffering from mental illness for one reason or another, and we now try to serve those as best we can as well, because as we all know, any kind of physical activity does help both the mind and the body overall to a better health and better condition.
So I'm kind of curious, vision impaired runners, how do you go about training them in the course?
Normal, and when I say normal, without the pandemic, we use the help of a running guide. And a running guide is an able-bodied individual who, in the case of running with a visually impaired or a blind athlete, has full sight. So I myself, because I suffer from a disease called retinitis pigmentosis, short form is RP. So with my vision, I have no peripheral vision. I see out of the size of a pinhole. That's it, and both my eyes. Very, very small. So I can't see where my feet are landing on the ground, and I can't see to the left or right in terms of, if there's a pole or if there's someone standing there. So when I run, I use a tethered rope between myself and my running guide. So it's up to my running guide to be both my eyes and ears while we're out there. So now, again, with the pandemic, it's been very difficult for some of our athletes who have no sight to get out there and continue on with their running program with their running guide. Unless that running guide is within the bubble friendship of the athlete, we've had to put a temporary hold on our weekly run club for the safety of all.
So, you mentioned you've been doing a lot of running work with those who are dealing with mental health considerations. How are you going about reaching out to those who could benefit from this running?
That's a good question. Right now, our predominant, we go by word of mouth. So we are, fairly recognized. Achilles Canada has been around since June of 1999. So we are in our 22nd year of a nonprofit organization. We have our annual Achilles St. Patrick Day race, which takes place around St. Patrick Day of every year. So a lot of our advertisement or reaching out to individuals is by word of mouth. They hear of the club or through a friend who is a member or a runner within the club. And before the pandemic, I used to do presentations or motivational guest speaking at a number of charities that deal with mental illness and those with a disability. So that's how we get the word out.
So in your time with Achilles, has there been any success moment that stands out for you?
Well, what I'd like to say, if I may say, with our Achilles St. Patrick Day race. So when I first created this race back in 2000, we needed an event or a fundraiser, I should say, for the club, because we had no money coming in. So I noticed in the market of Toronto that around St. Patrick's Day, a good friend of mine, John Stanton, who is the president and founder of Running Room Canada, he had this little 5K race that wasn't doing too well for Running Room Canada. And so he offered to race to Achilles Canada and myself to use it as an event to raise funds for Achilles Canada. And I'm pleased to say that without, you know, his help and generosity, we wouldn't be where we are today. And we are celebrating our 21st year of this race coming up this month, or I should say next month, the month of March. So that's how we got started. So my biggest accomplishment is that when I first took on the race, I wanted to see or break down barriers for our athlete with a disability to participate alongside with able-bodied participants. The original goal was to be a 50-50 ratio, meaning 50% of the participants would have a disability with the other 50% being able-bodied. The goal was high. I still believe that that can be achieved, but I will be honest with everyone that, you know, 21 years later, we are only at about 15 to 20% of our participants are those with a disability and the rest are able-bodied. But every year it seems to be, you know, growing slightly or gradually. And so I hope one day in the future we will have a 50-50. So truthfully, even though the numbers sound small, that is my biggest accomplishment that I feel blessed with Achilles Canada.
So if you could send any message to the community about the need for equality, people with disabilities in sports such as running, what would you say?
I would say, you know, never let the door close upon you. You know, be open, be real, okay? People may have a physical or an obvious disability that you can see, such as a wheelchair or a prosthetic leg, or it could be a hidden disability in terms of a mental illness. If someone comes to you asking for help or support, just be open with them, and open and real. And that's the beauty about Achilles Canada, that we do not turn down anyone. Share us your feelings, share us what your goals are, what you want to accomplish, and by taking small steps at a time, everybody and anybody can achieve your own fitness goal. We're not asking you to join Achilles Canada because you have to run a marathon. No, that's not what we're about. We are just about a nice community running club with great connections. And what I mean by great connections is that there are so many individuals within the club that have disability that you might be able to relate to one or two or three other individuals who are in the same circumstance as you. So it also becomes a support group, becomes a family group, so you can make some great connections within the group. So all I have to say to everyone out there is be open. You know, hear the individual out, find out what their needs are, and just be very supportive as best you can.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Yes.
HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
Advertise with CJAM 99.1 FM. We offer the most flexible and competitive rates for radio advertising in Windsor, Detroit. Our diverse programming can fit the needs of a range of organizations and businesses. Choose between daily rates for broad coverage or sponsor a show and target a specific audience. CJAM staff will work with you to craft your ad and choose the airtime that suits your needs. For more information, email statcjam@gmail.com, call 519-253-3000, extension 2525, or go to cjam.ca/advertise.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by
the Italian Canadian Handy Capable Association, an organization that provides recreational and athletic opportunities for individuals with disabilities in Windsor, Essex. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard a little bit about the latest happenings with Easter Seals from Jeremy Renault, and we heard a little bit about Achilles from Brian McLean. In this segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Therese Lane, who will be telling us a little bit about the Arthritis Patients Alliance.
So tell me a little bit about the Arthritis Patients Alliance.
It's a grassroots organization, which is basically patients for patients. Everybody on the advisory board has arthritis of one kind or another. And we just try and put as much information out there for other arthritis patients.
So, what are
some... We're involved in policy and things like that, so...
What are some of the most common needs among the arthritis patients that you encounter?
At the moment, it's obviously COVID. A lot of the people are on... A lot of us are on rheumatoid arthritis medication, which suppresses the immune system, so it makes us at more risk, really, of catching the virus and getting sicker. But at the moment, too, is we're not sure, because people with compromised immune systems were left out of the clinical trials. In some parts of Canada, they're not even given us the vaccine. So that's something that's bothering us at the moment.
So you mentioned you have an involvement in policy making for arthritis patients. Yeah. Can you tell me a little about that?
One of our members is on the Canadian Pain Task Force, and we're also this year we help students when they're writing summaries for their research. But I can't think of the most recent one, but sorry, I should be prepared for this.
It's quite all right.
I can get that to you, the very most recent.
So, are there any myths about arthritis out there that you encounter?
Yes, that it's an old people's illness. And that there isn't any cure for it. Well, there isn't a cure for it, but there is relief from it with rheumatoid arthritis, not so much so with osteoarthritis. But it's come a long way in the last 20 years.
In terms of...
In fact, there's an arthritis conference coming up later this month with... we submitted a poster which is called Arthritis Then Now, and it is showing the advancements in arthritis over the past 20 years when the first biologic was approved by Health Canada.
So, in terms of having the immune system suppressed with the rheumatoid drugs, what are some of the methods of an arthritis patient can use to keep healthy and to minimize the risk?
Well, it's lifestyle. Exercise. I find exercise to to be paramount in my life. If I don't exercise, I'm in a lot of pain. And lifestyle, obviously, you know, have to work because we're sometimes very sedentary because of fatigue. You know, we're at risk of gaining weight, so we have to live in a healthy diet and just moving around.
So, in your time with the Alliance, has there been any success story where you've been able to support a patient and their treatment and their...
I would say in a general way, I can't really think offhand. I've actually only been a member for just over 1 year, but I met people through other agencies, like the Chronic Pain Network, and there's quite a few members of CAPA on that. And we are always put in, we have a monthly newsletter that goes out there with information, with, you know, the latest information out there. We have somebody who's on the global COVID health alliance that keeps us up to date in what's happening with COVID and new injections. And so that's how we help people. Well, we put it on our website, we send out newsletters. Obviously, in the last while, we haven't really been out and about in the community, going to conferences, so we haven't really been meeting up with anybody on a one-to-one. But, and we do most of our getting in touch on Zoom, and especially as CAPA is right across the nation, too. So we have to cancel our annual meeting. We were supposed to meet at Toronto Airport Hotel in September, but that was cancelled.
So, in terms of not being able to get the vaccine, how has the arthritis community responded to that fact?
Well, it makes us uneasy. You know, we don't want we want to have the injection. So what we do is what we have done is get in touch with as many authorities and specialists on the subject of vaccination. And we are going to be having a webinar coming up once we get all our facts in. But what we've mostly come up with is that it's we would have to come off our medication for a little while in order to have the vaccine, but then go straight back on it, like we do for the flu vaccine. So,
wouldn't the change?
But it seems that we should be having it because we're at most risk for catching it. So,
but wouldn't shifting on and off the medication have an effect of causing pain and sort of messing with your response to treatments?
It would be very briefly. Oh. Very briefly, yes. Not enough to cause too much, you know, of a strain on our systems.
Like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Okay.
No matter the stage of life, regardless of the stage of life a person is at, we should always try to maintain that respect, that appreciation for a person's abilities. We should not allow ourselves to be ruled by the perception of one little difference changing who and what we see a person as. We see them as a living, breathing, intelligent human being, regardless of how they move, or think, or see, or hear. This perception should not change. The more we embrace these ideals, the better off we'll be as a people, the more our hearts and minds will grow. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you
we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.